sanctuary here, if you'll please grab your personal Bible or a pew Bible. If you're new to the church, we use the English Standard Version. It's the blueback Bible in your pew rack. And Tori's going to come up and read these two texts that will be the main text for our study. Again, we're going to focus in on one verse today, the one we ended last week with, if you were here last week. Okay? I've entitled this message, and here's the verse, 1 Timothy 2:15 Revisited. Now, if anyone, I didn't send out a message midweek, although we posted the midweek study. If anybody got to listen to it, here's the dilemma I had. After I did it, I made some mistakes, so I'm going to correct them in this study. Plus, I wanted everybody to hear this message. I think it's really important for many, many reasons. It's something you don't hear taught on often, the main subject being the new covenant roles that believers are called to. And again, there are three categories of these new covenant roles. I just mentioned them in the prayer and also with Miss Mary. There are gender roles that both women and men have that we're called to in this new covenant era. There are also roles of submission that both women and men are called to in this era of redemptive history. And there are also ministry roles that we're called to. And I'm going to cover those three categories. And if you're authentically saved, you will fulfill your new covenant roles. That's the promise. God will give you, He'll preserve you. He'll preserve you. The triune God will preserve you so that you persevere in the faith. That's how it works. Okay, Tori's going to come up and read Colossians 4, verse 17. And then he's going to read the passage that we looked at last week, 1 Timothy 2, 9 through 15. He's going to end with verse 15, and we're going to pick up with verse 15. And the main study is going to center on 1 Timothy 2, verse 15. Again, the title of this message is 1 Timothy 2:15 Revisited. We'll upload this message if you want to listen to it again. I'll have Cheryl do it this afternoon. We're going to record it here in a moment. And did I mess you up there? Okay, I'm sorry, I got messed you up. I didn't nod, did I? And I have it written right here. Sorry, Tori. See, look, anyway. Okay, so let's. Here's Tori's reading. Listen to God's eternal word, saints. Sorry, sir.
And the first reference is Colossians 4:17. Colossians 4:17. I say to Areopagus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. And then 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 through 15. Starting in verse 9. Likewise, also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold and pearls and costly attire, but with what is proper for a woman who professes godliness with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in the faith and love and holiness with self-control.
I do encourage you, saints, to keep your Bible open there or your iPhone on there to 1 Timothy 2, verse 15. I want to reiterate, I'm going to be using the English Standard Version translation. If you have a different translation, in your personal Bible, you may want to pick up that blueback Bible there in your pew rack and follow along in 1 Timothy 2:15. We're going to look at this, as I said, phrase by phrase in just a moment, after my introduction. Now, saints, I hope that you're following along with all the Lord's Day and midweek Bible studies. Here's why. Because as I think you figured out by this time, saints, these studies, especially the way that God has led me to present them in this series on redemptive history, these recent Bible studies are cumulative. They're cumulative. That is, they all fit together, if you haven't noticed. All these teachings, these recent teachings on the subject of redemptive history, They all fit together, and there is a logical progression to these studies. So I've used the term cumulative to describe them. Saints, we're considering deeper and deeper biblical truths in these studies on redemptive history. And we're doing this by building upon previous foundational biblical truths that we've already covered in prior studies. So, I hope you've been able to follow along in this entire series. And if for some reason you've fallen behind on the studies, you can catch up. You can catch up on our church's website. Again, I think you know where that is, how you get to that. It's calvaryneedles.org, and it's easy to navigate. Cheryl Manchin has done a great job as our web designer in making it easy to navigate and to listen to both the midweek Bible studies, which are all recorded, and the Lord's Day messages, which are all recorded. So, in fact, all the Lord's Day messages and all the midweek Bible studies for the past year and a half are preserved in MP3 format on our website. And if you're among those who still listen to messages on CD, like I know some of the saints in our church are, or if you want to listen to some of the messages in this series on redemptive history prior to January 2022, just call the church office and Debbie or Judy or I will get you a CD copy of the message or messages that you missed in this series, okay? We've kept all the CD masters of all the Lord's Day messages and midweek studies of this entire series on redemptive history. We have those preserved. So we can copy off a CD for you if you want to catch up. Now, here's why I'm making this particular suggestion to you right now. At the beginning of this particular message. It's because in this Bible study today, saints, I'm going to pick up where I left off in the Lord's Day message this past Sunday. So, if you didn't get listen to that message, last week's message, the Lord's Day message last Sunday, which was titled Our New Covenant Roles, I would encourage you sometime this week to go on our website, calvaryneedles.org, and to listen to that message, okay? Then you might want to come back and listen to this message because, again, this message this morning is the sequel, if you want to call it that, to the message I presented last Sunday, okay? Now, this is one of the most controversial passages in the entire New Testament that I began again, expositing last Lord's Day. And we're going to come now to perhaps the most difficult verse, well, arguably the most difficult verse to understand in this controversial passage, 1 Timothy 2, verse 15. So I encourage you now to look at that verse in your Bible or on your iPhone, whatever format you're using. And I'll begin by reading this verse for you again from the English Standard Version. This is 1 Timothy, not 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I'm going to read it, but this time I'm going to read it phrase by phrase, and I'm going to try to explain to you each phrase as we go along. Okay? So you're ready? Here we go. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, first two words in the ESV, yet she, and we're going to stop right there, okay? So first phrase, yet she. Now, when the Apostle Paul says she, here at the beginning of this verse, he is referring to women in Christ in this new covenant era. All women in Christ in this new covenant era. Specifically, the Apostle Paul is referring in this particular passage to the new covenant roles, some of the new covenant roles that God has called women in Christ to in this present new covenant era of redemptive history. Remember, saints, as I pointed out to you in the message last Sunday, these new covenant roles will not carry over into the age to come. Women in the new heavens and the new earth will not be fulfilling these roles, these new covenant roles. But women in Christ in this present age, including the women in this church, will fulfill. You will fulfill. If you're authentically saved, you will fulfill these new covenant gender roles, submission roles, and ministry roles. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying in this passage. It's profound what he's saying. Now, I've said before that you should never skip anything in the Bible. In fact, we have a warning at the end of the New Testament not to, in Revelation 22, 18 and 19, not to add anything or take anything away. I've also mentioned to you many times in the past that the most difficult passages and the most controversial passages and the most offensive passages are the most important. They will transform you more than any other passages. They're called spiritual meat. And they will hurt. They'll be hard to swallow. You'll choke on them. You'll have to ask the church for the Heimlich, the spiritual Heimlich maneuver on many occasions. You'll want to leave. Don't leave. Don't leave, especially in this day and age. That's what everybody is. You have first hard teaching, and I know people are, they're gone. That doesn't bother me. Do you know that? Remember, I'm the opposite now. I'm offended when you're not offended. So when you're not offended, when somebody comes and sits in the congregation here and they're not offended at all by anything I say, then I'm offended. Because I know probably I haven't presented God's word in its fullness. So you will be offended, but you'll be transformed too. As you receive it, as you allow the word of God, the gospel to change you, and as you fulfill the roles that God has called you to, the new covenant roles. Okay? Now, now in regard to the age to come, I made the point, and I made it over and over again last week, that I was talking about this passage, talking about women in Christ. You will not be called to fulfill these roles in the age to come in the new heavens and new earth. Now, apparently, by what the Bible indicates, we are going to retain our gender in the age to come. Maleness and femaleness is apparently going to carry over into the eternal state by what the Bible indicates. But the present new covenant roles of men and women will not carry over into the eternal state. Now, this is a distinction and a point. It's a redemptive historical truth that's often not appreciated by believers and often not taught. That struck me last week as I was teaching it. Okay, back to the verse. That's the first phrase there. Yet she, now remember this first verse, this first phrase is referring to all women in Christ in this present new covenant era. Every woman in Christ authentically saved in this congregation and every other congregation. So, yet she, next line now, will be saved. Now stop right there. That's the next phrase, will be saved. Saints, when the Apostle Paul says saved here, he means eternal salvation. This is a difficult text, so if you read the commentators, you're going to get all sorts of opinions on this. I know, and other commentators say this, I'm not the first, in fact, this is generally understood. I know that the Apostle Paul means eternal salvation here because this is the typical word, the Greek word underlying saved here is sozo. It's the typical word used in the New Testament that means eternal salvation. It means salvation that's a gift of God by grace through faith to those that are God's elect. Saved here means eternally saved by Christ's redemptive work. Next line now. See what I'm doing? Don't often do this. This is, in these difficult verses, you need to do it this way, I think. Okay? Yet she, meaning again the women in Christ in this new covenant era, will be saved, eternally saved. Now here's the line that throws commentators off. Through childbearing. Does everybody see that? It's a good translation. Guess which of those two words are more important here? Okay, I'll show you. Through childbearing, just two words. Watch now. Now, saints, this line through childbearing is the line that stumbles many, many Christians and many, many commentators as well. Let me try to sort it out for you, okay? Because that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm called to do. That's one of my ministry roles, to explain the Word of God to you. Now, saints, in regard to this line, because it says, yet she, women in Christ, will be saved, eternally saved, through childbearing. Now, in regard to what the apostle is saying here, first of all, we know that a person is not saved by their own works, right? We know this. Everyone in this church knows this. True salvation is by God's grace through faith in Christ's perfect work. Everybody knows this, okay, in this church. Spend a lot of time coming to that truth, huh? The Bible is very clear on this. True salvation, eternal salvation, personal salvation is by God's grace through faith in Christ's perfect work, not by the righteousness of our own works. That's fundamental Christianity. That's the gospel. And we know this in our church. So we know then that the Apostle Paul is not saying here that the way for women to be eternally saved is for them to bear children. That seems to be what he's saying, but that's not what he's saying. We can be absolutely certain he's not saying this. I'll say it again. He's not saying that the way for women to be eternally served is by bearing children. Okay, believe it or not, there have been some outliers who aren't authentically saved who've taught that through church history, believe it or not. Okay, so what is the Apostle Paul saying here? Saints, he's saying something very, very important. Please listen. The Apostle Paul here, I'll say this twice because this is one of the main points of my message. The Apostle Paul here is proclaiming the truth that women in Christ, that is, women who are authentically saved in this present New Covenant era, women in Christ, the Apostle is saying here, will fulfill the New Covenant roles that God has appointed them to. That's what he's saying. As men in Christ will. Everyone who's authentically saved, everyone who's authentically in Christ, will fulfill the New Covenant roles that God appoints them to. That's what he's saying. Now, as I explain this phrase more and more, you'll understand that. Let me say it again, okay, so you kind of get it inside you to begin with. Then I'll prove this to you, try to prove it to you from the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, when he says here, we've just gone through one line, haven't we? Yet she, meaning all women in Christ in this present New Covenant era, will be saved, eternally saved, through childbearing. I'm explaining this, okay, this difficult line. Apostle Paul here is proclaiming the truth that women in Christ, women who are authentically saved in this present New Covenant era, women in Christ will, they absolutely will, because of God's, because, saints, because God preserves them. See? Women in Christ will persevere in their roles because God is underlying preserving them in their roles. That's how steadfastness and perseverance in the faith works. God preserves us in the faith so we persevere in the faith, right? We've talked about that before. Women in Christ, women who are authentically saved in this present New Covenant era, like women in this congregation, will fulfill the New Covenant roles that God appoints them to, just like men in Christ will fulfill their roles, saints. That's what he's saying. The fulfillment of our New Covenant roles is one aspect of the fruit of authentic salvation in this New Covenant era. Let me say that again. The fulfillment of our New Covenant roles. If you have somebody who comes in your congregation, we have through the years, and say, I'm a pastor, and they're under 50. Not a retired pastor, I'm a pastor. The first thing I think, I'm trying to give you discernment here. It's not hard. I'm trying to give you discernment. It's not hard. From the Word we get discernment. First thing I think, then why aren't you pastoring? Okay? If you're a pastor, then you're not fulfilling your ministry. So bang, you don't need much more than that. I'm giving you some help with discernment. We get discernment from God's Word by knowing God's Word. See? That's just one implication of this teaching. Okay? Then why aren't you fulfilling it? Because you will if you're authentically saved. So I wonder if this is a false believer here. I wonder if I got to keep an eye, you know, says the pastor and the elders who are charged by God as one of our ministry roles to guard the church spiritually. Okay? So we're thinking to ourselves, we might not say anything, but our feelers are going. We're remembering what God says. Beep, 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 beep. You know, they really start going there. So there's little things like this. I'm giving you, I couldn't have told you this 25 years ago. I made lots of mistakes, but I'm starting to catch on. You'll know them by their fruit. And one of the fruits of real salvation is the fulfilling of these new covenant roles. Both women in Christ and men in Christ will fulfill the new covenant gender, submission, and ministry roles that God gives them in this present age. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Paul is teaching here. Amazingly enough, it's a profound point. And when we skip over this teaching, or pastors who aren't bold don't teach it, you're missing that. You're not going to grow in that area. And so there's lots of implications. One implication of that, you get all sorts of people in the church in leadership positions who aren't called to it. And all sorts of people are in the church who aren't saved, but they think they're saved. That's a dangerous thing, saints. You know me. I know what changes me. It's the Word of God, ministered by the Spirit. And I know what changes the congregation. It took me a long time. I'm a turtle. But I finally figured it out. What makes a real authentic church is the Word of God, not holding up the entire counsel of the Word of God, especially the difficult teachings. Because that's what really sorts it out, saints. You know, just like in us, it sorts it out. It sorts it out in a church, okay? Identifies the false believers and convicts them so they be saved or they leave. And that doesn't bother me a bit. Again, I'm offended when you're not offended by the word. Okay? I've completely flipped, okay, on that. That used not to be the case, but that's the case now. Saints, listen to the distinction. We aren't saved by fulfilling these roles. In fact, look at the preposition the apostle uses in this verse. Yet she will be saved through childbearing. Though every word of God is inspired. He doesn't say, yet she will be saved by childbearing. The apostle says, yet she will be saved through childbearing. That preposition is very important. It's inspired. We're not saved by fulfilling our new covenant roles. Don't go home and say to someone, pastor said, I have to fulfill these roles or I'm not saved. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying we're saved through fulfilling our new covenant roles. In other words, if we're saved, we will fulfill these roles. We absolutely will. As we fulfill these gender, submission, and ministry roles, which both men and women have, that God has ordained for us in this new covenant era, we are being sanctified, saints. Look at our song leaders. I mean, look around to people who have been here for a while. They're different. Yeah, in a good way. I know people who think they're saved and they get worse. And then they insist, well, I made an altar call, I believed. What? That's what we were talking about in the adult Sunday school. You think just because you assent? Don't you know James chapter 2, verse 19? It says, James 2, 19, the devil believes in God and shudders. James 2, 19. The devil and the demons believe in God and believe in Christ. They know Christ better than many Christians do. Devil knows the Word of God too. You remember Jesus' temptation? It's not because you believe the existence of Christ. Good for you. The devil believes that. It's that you trust in Christ, that you've been effectually called and regenerated and justified. And there will be fruit, there will be evidence, all sorts of evidence. You'll know them by their fruit. Jesus puts it so simply. Or lack thereof. Man, I meet with people all the time who swear, well, and then they want to tell me how to run the church. I meet with them, what? And I don't do that, but I used to. But just think, okay, you know. And I think to myself, I'll pray for your brother or sister, but but my goodness gracious, Satan has really deceived you. If somebody is saved, think about the people you know who are saved in this church. They're radically changed. And they continue in the ministry for years. Think of Tori and Shauna. Sometimes they used to have 30 kids sometimes, like we used to be full sometimes. Mary, at times, had 20 back there. And I'll tell you something about Mary, and I'll tell you something about Shauna and Tori, and I think about my wife, Sandy. Whether they had one kid, two kids, 20 or 30 kids, they prepare the same way. Have they always agreed with what I said? No, we'll talk about that in a moment. I can guarantee you no. And I would be worried if they did. I would think they were a yes people. They're not yes people. They don't agree with me. And sometimes I'm wrong and I come to them, and then sometimes they're changed by what I said, even though they disagree with me. It doesn't bother you. If you disagree, it doesn't bother me at all. Okay? If you want to come to me and show that you disagree with me and help me, show me in the Word of God, not your opinion. I have people saying, well, other commentators don't say that. Okay, fine. But let's determine it by the Word of God, our authority, not by the number of commentators that believe. Just like this thing. I mean, if you try to study this and look at the commentaries, you're going to get all sorts of opinions. Okay? But what fits together with the rest of the truths in redemptive history? That's what I'm showing you here. And you take it, you have to search the Scriptures to see whether what I say is true. Be good Bereans, okay, and do that. You need to do that. We all need to do that. When I listen to teachings, I have to do that, okay? The fulfillment of these new covenant roles is one aspect of the fruit of the inevitable results of being authentically saved. Now, what also throws commentators off in this line is the specific reference to childbearing. So let me explain that. I explained this in the message last Sunday, but just in case you've forgotten, let me remind you again. Okay, this is real important. The Apostle Paul is using childbearing as a synecdoche. Do you remember that word? A synecdoche. Do you remember what a synecdoche is, saints? A synecdoche is a figure of speech in which a part of the whole is used to describe the entirety of the whole. For instance, let me give you an example. When we use the word wheels to describe an automobile, a car, we are using a synecdoche. We're using a part of the car to refer to the whole car. We say to someone, that's a nice set of wheels. We don't mean, again, the wheels on that car are really nice. The rest of it's junk, but, you know. We mean, that's a very nice car you have there. So again, wheels is an example, a part of the whole, the car, and we use wheels to represent the entirety of the car. That's a nice set of wheels. The Apostle Paul is using childbearing to refer to all the new covenant roles that God has ordained for women in Christ in this present redemptive historical era. So, saints, this doesn't mean that all women in Christ have childbearing as one of their God-appointed gender roles. That's not what the apostle is saying here. For instance, there are women in Christ, by God's design, who remain unmarried. They're not going to bear any children, by God's design. There are other women in Christ who are unable for some reason to bear children, by God's design. So they're married, but they don't have any children, by God's design. So for those women in Christ, childbearing is not one of their God-appointed gender roles in this New Covenant era. But they have other God-appointed New Covenant roles to fulfill, which they will fulfill if they're authentically saved, some of which I'll remind you of in a moment. Okay? Now, here's where Miss Mary comes in. To make this more clear for you, saints, let me give you an example from our church. I struggle with this because I think I did it a couple times years ago, and I was sorry I did it. Because what it does when you use somebody as an example, especially yourself or somebody else, Satan's just going to assault the person unless they're mature in Christ. So don't think to yourself, I wish Pastor was using me. That's right. Okay, so we'll be praying for Miss Mary. And Bob, you give us a report next week. Okay, so. Now let me also say that I have lots of godly women that I could choose from in our church, including my godly wife, Sandy. But again, I want to have a good week, so I don't want Satan. I have enough trouble with Satan without inviting me in. Okay, you're getting me. Okay. So Bob, we're sending him out. No, we're not. To Laughlin. No, it's not going to happen. She's going to bless. She's mature because she knows she's a sinner. Deeply, Mary does, doesn't she? She's like an apostle. She knows she's a sinner. She's mature in the faith. She knows she's a saved sinner. It's just God's grace that saved her. She knows that. And I'm convinced her, or I wouldn't use her as an example. Okay. Now, I'm going to use Miss Mary as an example to explain to you how both women in Christ and men in Christ are saved through, not by, but through fulfilling the new covenant roles that God has appointed for us. Okay? God has appointed roles for men and women. So, let me begin. Saints, Miss Mary is a woman in Christ. She's saved, okay? She's a woman in Christ in this new covenant era of redemptive history. And being a woman in Christ in this new covenant era, Miss Mary is presently called by God to fulfill her new covenant roles. And there's three roles, the way I've categorized them. Miss Mary is called to fulfill her new covenant roles, which are, these are the three categories of new covenant roles, her gender roles, her submission roles, and her ministry roles. That's how I'm dividing it. These roles, new covenant roles that God has appointed her to, in fact, saints, listen to this. This is how Miss Mary abides in Christ, through fulfilling her new covenant roles in this present age. That's something we don't talk about enough. So let me refer to Miss Mary's, let's begin with Miss Mary's gender roles, okay? In this present age, according to the Bible, Miss Mary was appointed by God to bear children. And she fulfilled that role. Miss Mary has a son and a daughter who she bore and helped rear. And Bob, she might have, no, she won't have any more. Okay, don't worry. Unless she's Sarah. Okay. But listen, don't forget what I just said, saints. Not every woman in Christ in this present age is adorned by God to bear children. But Miss Mary was, she was, she was, and she did. She fulfilled that new covenant gender role. But Miss Mary is also called to fulfill her new covenant submission roles. Right? Miss Mary is ordained by God in this present age to fulfill her new covenant submission roles. In other words, Miss Mary is called to submit to her husband Bob. This is another one of the new covenant roles that God ordains women in Christ for in this present age, submitting to their husbands. Now, this is what this passage here in 1 Timothy chapter 2 is about, like we learned last week. And also, I mentioned two other scriptures last week that say this very directly, women submit to your husbands. Ephesians 5, verse 22, Ephesians 5, verse 22, and Colossians 3, verse 18. Ephesians 5:22 and Colossians 3:18 also specifically call women in Christ to submit to their husbands. You can't get around it. I know how countercultural this is. I know it. Of course it is. Nobody wants to hear this. No, hardly any women. But when they do, and the spirit within them resonates with this truth, and they begin to do this, and every woman in Christ, authentically saved woman in Christ, will do this. Some point, it takes a while, you know, like sanctification, it's part of sanctification. They're tremendously blessed. And their husbands are blessed and their families are blessed, okay? And Miss Mary does this. We can all see this, can't we? That Miss Mary submits to her husband Bob as God calls her to. It's not a fake, okay? You can see this, okay? Okay, now let's also think about some of Miss Mary's women in Christ's other submission roles, because there's others as well. Here's another new covenant submission role that God has appointed Miss Mary to as a woman in Christ. Miss Mary is also appointed by God to submit to the local church leaders. In the local church, God has called her to, which is this church. Hebrews, I'll give you one text which is clear as a bell. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says that. It says it both in regard to women and men. I'm going to get to that in a moment. But we're talking about Miss Mary. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 calls both women and men. In fact, all New Covenant believers are called by God to submit to the leaders in the local church that God calls them to. And I can tell you, and I know Tori would agree with this, saints, that Miss Mary is also fulfilling this New Covenant role. Now remember, saints, the way that our submission, we all say we submit. This is, we saw in the recent, and we saw in the recent last 2 years how many really submit, didn't we? Very few, very few. Okay, very few men, and probably very few women submit to what God is clearly calling us to do, our submission roles, okay? But remember what I've said in the past, the test of whether you submit to someone, men and women, is whether you submit to them when you disagree with them. I've had men pass through this church, and they tick off for me all the times that they've submitted to me before they leave. They do that. And then sometimes I don't say anything. Sometimes I say, when did you disagree with me and submit to the authority God placed over you? Well, see, saints, this is a test for me. I don't agree with any of the politics of the California governor. I don't agree with many of the, you know, the views and the legislation of our president. But you've watched me submit to President Biden or whoever's president. You've seen me over and over again, and encourage, not only do I do that, I encourage you to, so you'll be blessed. Not to talk bad about him, to pray for him. It's gotten out of hand. And nobody calls anybody on it. And then Governor Newsom, I pray for him, and I always get looks, and we've had scads of men leave the church because of this. Fine. How do you know you're saved? That's what I want to say on their exit interviews. I say it to some of them, as a matter of fact, without naming names. How do you know you're saved if you're not fulfilling the roles God's called you to? Do you think I like to submit to people that I disagree with? I've learned how much I get blessed, and I get even more blessed when I teach it. And our church changes and becomes a real church as we teach these difficult truths. I encourage you, saints, to think about this, because this is rare among Christianity. It's gotten out of hand to find just a few Christians who actually, by the power of God that God gives them, fulfills their submission roles. Okay, both men and women have them. I'll say it again. Real submission to authority is tested when you disagree. You don't even know if you submit. Everybody, it's no problem to submit when you agree. The test comes when you disagree with them and with their policies or what they're calling, you know, again. Now, there's a time to step up, but it involves, again, when a leader is calling you to do something that directly contradicts what God is calling you to. That's seldom the case nowadays, saints. Think of Daniel, think of Joseph, think of the apostles in Acts. This is seldom the case. And you've watched me. I will not, when the Methodist Church called me to do things, I told them exactly what I believed. And they still ordained me. And then, you know, I had to learn from Jerry Lewis and from Miss Mary how to submit to authority. I wanted to leave. I planned to leave. I plotted to leave this church. Because how crazy it was getting in the United Methodist Church here in the Southwest. And yet I am so glad I stayed. I mean, I can't tell you, because we wouldn't have this incredible, we wouldn't have you guys. I wouldn't have the best church, and I believe this, in all California and Arizona, had I left. Okay, God would have chastened me. I would have landed on my feet somewhere, but it would have been harder for me. I'm so glad that I learned that, and it was a hard lesson for me to learn. It's going to be a hard lesson for some of you to learn. I encourage you to pursue that lesson. Miss Mary is also appointed by God as one of her present New Covenant roles to submit to the political leaders that God has sovereignly set over her in the city and state and nation that she lives in. Romans 13, verse 1, which you know by heart because I preached it so often the last 2 years, and 1 Peter 2, 13a clearly says it. Calls all New Covenant saints, both women and men, men and women, to do this. And again, I think we can all see that Miss Mary does this. Now, all of us could do this better. We're very weak here in America in submitting to the political leaders God has, and there's reasons for this. Dominionism is a big problem, okay, as we've talked about. That's why it's very hard for people to do that. Once we understand what the scripture is teaching, we know that God's in charge of them. God's in charge of President Biden, as he's in charge of every leader. It's so clear. But he's not going to bless you through that leader until you submit to God by submitting to the leader. Don't you see? Don't you see, saints? God's in charge of Governor Newsom. He can't do anything that God doesn't permit. And everything that God does through these leaders will be a blessing to you once you submit to it. Professing Christians just don't learn this. I'm just saying they never learn it because they never do it. Okay? I can talk till I'm blue in the face, but until you do what God is calling you to do by the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll never see the blessings of submission. Okay? Took me a long time to learn. I'm not pressing anybody on this. It's tough. Okay? Now, remember, saints, what I pointed out to you in the study on last Sunday. Women in Christ in this present age have just one more person to submit themselves to than men in Christ in this present age do. And this is the case only if the woman in Christ is married. This is so because men in Christ are also called by God in this present age to submit themselves to the leaders appointed by God in their church, Hebrews 13, 17, and to the political leaders that God has sovereignly set over us in the city and state and nation that we live in, Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2, 13a. So women in Christ in this present age, and only if they're married, have just one more person, their husbands, to submit themselves to than men in Christ in this present age do. I pointed that out last week. Another truth that isn't often talked about. Okay, continuing with our example of Miss Mary. Miss Mary also has a ministry role within the local church. Gender role, or roles, submission roles, and also ministry. A ministry role within the local church that God has appointed her to in this present age. As we know, God has called and gifted Miss Mary in a unique way to minister to the children in this church, in this community. She is a shining example of fulfilling her ministry role. And saints, as we know, Miss Mary is uniquely gifted by God for this children's ministry, as we all can clearly see. She loves those rugrats. And it's like she loves the ones that are the most problems more. Have you noticed that? Through the years, I've noticed that. 25 years. Whether she had one, two, no matter how hard they were, no matter how much of a rugrat they were, no matter how many problems, she seems to love the ones that are troubled more. That's God's grace. Could I do that? Does anybody want to volunteer for that right now? I hope not. That's a calling. That's a ministry role that God has ordained for Miss Mary. She's fulfilling it. She's every week. It's amazing, isn't it? 25 years. There you go. That's real Christianity. Not, I disagree with the pastor, so I'm leaving. And then all the churches, every church gets weaker and weaker as people are recycled through them. And then all the pastors are just trying to keep people in the pews by finding out what they want to hear and tickling their ears. I know what you want to hear. You're not going to get it here. I'm offended when you're not offended by the Word of God. Remember that. You want to write that down. See, Miss Mary is uniquely gifted by God for this children. Obviously, Sandy's uniquely gifted for music. Song leaders are. Sandy's uniquely gifted for teaching. In a unique way. I always say this, she's a better teacher than I am. But that doesn't mean, again, that I shouldn't be teaching. as the pastor, because see, my ministry role appointed by God is as the pastor of the church, okay? And God will show me things that he doesn't show other people who are more gifted than I in teaching. You've seen that. He'll show me things. And men, in your house, you're called to, your ministry, your submission role, your role, say, your role is to love your women, to love your wife. I'm just starting to learn some of these things. Love your wife. To love her. Love God first and foremost, and love your wife with that love that God gives you as you love God first and foremost. Okay? Saints, please listen. Using the Apostle Paul's phrase here in 1 Timothy 2:15, Miss Mary is being saved through, not by, but through fulfilling the present new covenant gender and submission and ministry roles that God has ordained her for. She's being saved through. She's being sanctified through doing this. As she teaches back there right now, she's being sanctified. As I teach, I'm being sanctified. As you fulfill your role as parishioners, as part of this church, you're being sanctified. But this is the way that Miss Mary is also abiding in Christ. When I see people, they say they're Christians and they never come to church. And I say, well, go to some church. No. And the reason usually is nowadays with men is they can't submit to any authority. Any. But they say they do. And I say, what authority do you submit to? Who's your teacher? Well, I learn myself. What? Where's that in the Bible? Boy, that's dangerous. That's when people get off the rails. And you can see their lives. Their lives become more and more miserable. There's no fruit in their lives. There's no transformation. They drag their families down. They drag others around them down. There's no fruit. But they still say, I'm saved. You know, because I confessed Jesus 25 years ago. Mental assent. That's not salvation, saints. That's not salvation. Come on. Come on. So you present the gospel to them. Love them the best you can and stay out of their way. Okay? Because these are dangerous folk, saints, a lot of times. But this is the way that Miss Mary is abiding in Christ in this present age, through fulfilling her new covenant roles, her gender roles, her submission roles, and her ministry roles. In verse 15a in our text, the apostle is saying that the way to abide in Christ is through fulfilling the roles that God has ordained for us in this present age, using childbearing as a synecdoche for those roles that women in Christ are called to. In verse 15b, in the second half of the verse, the apostle is saying that the result of abiding in Christ through fulfilling the roles that God has ordained for us in this present age, the result of abiding in Christ, through fulfilling our new covenant roles, is the fruit of the Spirit. Authentic character transformation in our lives, which is sanctification, saints. That's the second half of the verse. You follow that? Now look at the second half of the verse just for a moment. 15b. I'll read it for you. Apostle says, if they continue in the faith, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. The if is referring to eternal salvation. It refers back. So they're saved if, see, this is fruit that will be born. You're saved if, not because you have to do this to be saved, but this is the result of salvation. This is the fruit, the inevitable fruit of salvation. It's the fruit of the Spirit. If they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. This conditional if throws commentators off sometimes. Here's what the apostle is saying here. He's saying that if we continue to abide in Christ, we are authentically saved. Because we're fulfilling our new covenant roles and we're producing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Okay? We're fulfilling our new covenant roles, 15a, and we're producing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, 15b. These are inevitable results of authentic salvation, period. That's what the Bible is saying. We're not saved by doing these things. We're saved through doing these things. In other words, saints, authentically saved individuals in this new covenant era will both fulfill their God-appointed new covenant roles, 15a, and they will bear fruit of the Spirit in their lives, 15b. There you have it. We're not saved by doing and being these things. No. Rather, like the Apostle Paul says in this verse, we're saved through. That word through is very important. We're saved through doing and being these things. And Miss Mary is one of the excellent examples in our local church of how this works. That's why I'm using her example. And saints, when you understand how authentic salvation works, many passages in the New Testament open up to you in a new way. Now let me just apply this to a few other passages here, just real quickly. Like for instance, 2 Timothy, not 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Let me read 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. 2 Timothy 4, 5. The Apostle Paul says to Timothy, "As for you," Paul is the mentor, Timothy is the young protege. He's in the church at Ephesus and he's having a lot of trouble. It's a tough church. So, tough congregation. So, Paul says, among other things to Timothy, the first two letters, 1 and 2 Timothy, written to Timothy. He says here in 2 Timothy 4, 5, "As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist," and look what he says, "fulfill your ministry, Timothy." Fulfill your ministry, Timothy, the Apostle Paul says, because this is one aspect of the God-appointed new covenant roles that God has ordained for you. Fulfill your ministry, Timothy, because you are saved through, not by, but through fulfilling your present God-appointed new covenant roles. That's what he's saying. Now, look at our other pillar verse here, Colossians 4, verse 17. I'll read it for you again. Tori read this for us. This is our other pillar verse for this study. This is the Apostle Paul, again in Colossians. And here at the end of his letter, he's giving some greetings. And here in verse 17, the next to last verse of Colossians, this letter, chapter 4, verse 17, he directs the believers in the church at Colossae to say to a man named Archippus, we don't know who this is, but he's perhaps referred to again in another letter Paul writes, another inspired letter, the letter of Philemon. There's a cross reference, but we don't know who this is. But this man, Archippus, apparently had a ministry role in the church of Colossae. That's all we know. The apostle directs the church to tell Archippus, okay, this, see that you fulfill the ministry that you received from the Lord. There it is. See that you fulfill the ministry. So I want to say the same thing to you this morning, saints. Fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Fulfill your new covenant roles, saints. Your gender roles, your submission roles, and the ministry roles that God has appointed for you in this church in this present age. See, saints, back to our verse, 1 Timothy 2:15. 1 Timothy 2:15 is telling us, saints, that to abide in Christ, we must fulfill the new covenant roles that God has ordained for us. And these new covenant roles include, again, gender roles, submission roles, and ministry roles that God calls us to. I've divided up in three categories. And listen to how profound this is. This is how we abide in Christ. Have you ever wondered in John 15, abide in me and I in you. How do I abide in you, Lord? Fulfill the roles that God has called you in this new covenant. These aren't going to be roles for you in the coming age. These are new covenant roles. That's why I keep saying that. This is how we abide in Christ, saints, through fulfilling these new covenant roles. You've probably never thought of abiding in Christ in this way, have you? But this is the way the inspired New Testament talks about abiding in Christ. Now, let's spread it out for Miss Mary. Think for a moment, saints, how many faithful believers we have in our local church abiding in Christ. That's why our church is so great now. Never have we had so many. How do you know that, Pastor? By the fruit that's being born. The character change. See it every week. I hear it and see it every week. By the fulfillment of your roles that God has called you to. I could use so many women as examples of fulfilling gender roles and submission roles and ministry roles in this church. Okay? It was hard to choose. That's absolutely honest. Okay? So many women I could choose. In fact, in the first draft of this message, I tried to list the names of all the faithful believers in our church who are fulfilling their gender ministry roles. The list got too long, and then I was worried I was going to leave someone off the list that belongs on the list. So I'll just let you, saints, think about all the faithful believers in our church who are abiding in Christ through fulfilling their new covenant roles. Think about it this afternoon or tomorrow in your prayer time tomorrow morning. Those who are authentically in Christ will fulfill the new covenant roles that God appoints them to. Authentic believers will fulfill both the gender roles, ministry roles, submission roles that God has appointed them to. They will. It's part of the fruit of real salvation. And if you want to talk about it theologically, I mentioned this in my prayer, underlying the perseverance of the saints, which is the P in TULIP, the doctrines of grace. T-U-L-I-P, T, total depravity, U, unconditional election, L, limited atonement, I, irresistible grace, P, perseverance of the saints. Underlying the perseverance of the saints is God's preservation of the saints. The reason that Miss Mary and so many more in this congregation, the majority, the great majority of this congregation, are persevering in the faith and not running and fulfilling your roles is because God is preserving you, underlying. And as you focus on the preservation of God, you persevere more. I've had to learn that. It's God preserving me. It's God preserving me. He's keeping me here. I tried to get out of this church, and God kept me here. Kept me with a strong, I'm so glad he did. Okay. We persevere, the glory doesn't go to us. We persevere, saints, because he preserves us in the faith. All authentically saved believers will persevere in the faith. It's P in TULIP in the doctrine. We will continue to abide in Christ through fulfilling our new covenant roles because God is preserving us in the faith. Now, saints, but don't forget the point I was making in the study on Sunday, last Sunday, about these new covenant roles that God is presently calling us to, that those who are authentically in Christ will fulfill in the present age. Don't forget the point I was making last Sunday. These new covenant roles by which we now in this present era abide in Christ, these new covenant roles, saints, will not carry over into the eternal state in the new heavens, new earth. Think about it this way. Just like there were old covenant roles that God called his old covenant saints to fulfill, and that they stayed faithful to God by fulfilling, and that they did fulfill, these old covenant roles, saints, didn't carry over into this present new covenant era of redemptive history. See where I'm going here? There are no old covenant prophets or priests in this new covenant era by God's design. These old covenant roles of prophet and priest have been perfectly fulfilled in this new covenant era by Christ, the perfect prophet, priest, and king. So there's no need for old covenant prophets and priests. You know, in some of the congregations in Christianity, you know, you have people, I'm a prophet. You know, I'm a prophet. No, you're not. If you're a prophet, if you're an Old Testament prophet, whenever you get one thing wrong, we had that in the last election cycle. People saying, I am telling you such and so and so will be elected. And then it was amazing to me. They were wrong and the congregation didn't kill them. Because that's what you're called to do in the book of Deuteronomy. If you're operating the old covenant, I'm not calling on that guy to be killed because he's not a prophet. But as soon as he says he's a prophet, you should know that. There's no prophets. We have the perfect prophet. We have God's word. Why do you need a prophet? There's no such thing. They're frauds. And that's why they get things wrong. You remember what they did? So many of them predicted the wrong, he'll win, I promise. And then after that didn't occur, he'll be instated within a month. Now we're nearly at the next election cycle. Why don't you say I'm never going to listen to you again? What? Then they go back to the person. I need a word from the prophet. If you need a word from the Lord, open your Bible and read, and you'll get lots of words from the Lord. Or listen to someone who's expositing the scripture for you, for goodness sakes. Not somebody who's talking through their hat. Come on. These new covenant roles by which we now in this present era abide in Christ, these new covenant roles, saints, will not carry over in the eternal state, just like the old covenant roles didn't carry over in this new covenant era, right? There were old covenant roles then. They didn't carry over. There are new covenant roles now. They won't carry over. That's the point. That's an obvious point. Okay? So I'm not going to be Pastor Craig in the new heavens, new earth, and Mary's not going to be a children's church teacher. And our song leaders aren't going to be song leaders. They're going to be part of the heavenly choir. Okay? We're not going to have these roles. And you women who are wives aren't going to have to submit to your husbands. Say amen. Okay? Or to any political leaders, because there aren't going to be political leaders. You're going to be citizens of heaven. You're going to have a perfect king. You have one right now. You have a perfect prophet, priest, and king. His word is inscripturated in your Bible. Perfect prophet. He's the perfect priest, the perfect one mediator between God and men. 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6. And he's the perfect king. He's sovereign over everything. Why do you need old covenant prophets or priests or kings? Right? Don't you see? It just makes sense. Now, I'm just giving you an understanding from redemptive history how these things work. And it opens it up, doesn't it? You know, in fact, you remember what Jesus says in Luke 20 in regard to women's submission, you know, to their husbands in the eternal state in the New Testament. Luke 20, verses 34 and 35. Listen to this. I went over this a couple weeks ago. The sons of this age, this present redemptive historical age, marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to attain that age, the age to come, what do you mean worthy to attain? It's by grace, isn't it? Yes, it is. Worthy to attain, you've fulfilled, by God's grace, you fulfill the roles. You've abided in Christ by the power he gives you. That's what he means by worthy. Worthy to attain that age and to the resurrection from the dead, neither marry or given in marriage. Luke 20, 34 and 35. Well, that torpedoes the whole Mormon faith, doesn't it? Among, and also a lot of other crazy ministries as well. Tori and Sean are not going to be youth leaders in the eternal state. Sorry, Michaela. Sorry, Noah. In the age to come, men and women are not going to be called to submit to their church leaders or to the political leaders that God has sovereignly appointed over them. In the age to come, in the new heavens and the earth, there will be no need for the new covenant roles of gender and ministry and submission. But there are now, saints, okay? There are now in this present age, according to God's perfect design for redemptive history. In fact, again, saints, in this present age, we're saved through fulfilling these new covenant roles that God has ordained for his people. This amazing verse here in 1 Timothy 2:15 that we've looked at in this study tells us, saints, that this is the way that we presently abide in Christ and produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, through fulfilling the new covenant roles, both the gender roles, the submission roles, and the ministry roles that God is presently calling us to in this present age. Like I said in the message last Sunday, this verse, 1 Timothy 2:15, is considered by commentators to be the most difficult verse in one of the most controversial passages in the entire New Testament. This passage addresses the issue of the role of women within the ministry of the local church in this present age of redemptive history. God is calling his people in this present age, in this new covenant era, saints, to their new covenant roles that will not carry over into the new heavens and new earth. But new covenant believers are now called to fulfill these new covenant roles. In fact, this is how in this new covenant era we presently abide in Christ, and it's how we bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives by fulfilling these new covenant roles. Again, one more time, the three categories: gender roles, submission roles, and ministry roles that God has appointed for us in this present age, as we see in Miss Mary and as we see so many in this church. And glory be to God for that. I'm going to conclude with what I've already quoted for you, Colossians 4, verse 17, our other, you know, our pillar, one of our pillar texts, verses. So I'm going to direct it to you. Archippus is no longer. I'm going to direct it to you. Colossians 4, 17. Saints, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Okay? Will you join me in prayer, saints? Father, thank you again. Thank you for the attentiveness of this congregation. I'm so blessed by them. And thank you again, Father. We know, Lord Jesus, I'll direct this prayer to you, a part of this prayer to you. You say there, Lord Jesus, in Matthew 16, you say in verse 18, we looked at this verse recently, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church, Jesus says. Well, this is part of your church. This is one local church, part of your church. Now, church isn't a building. It's your people, Lord Jesus. Father, this is your people. Triune God, we're your people. We're your people because you chose us for salvation before the foundation of the world. In time, you placed the effectual call in our hearts. You justified us. You reckoned perfect righteousness to us. You regenerated us. You gave us the Holy Spirit. You sent the Holy Spirit to eternally and personally unite us to Christ in that deepest salvific work, union with Christ. That's why we talk about being in Christ, because of our eternal personal union with Christ. The bond that guarantees That union is eternal and personal, is the Holy Spirit. So it can't be broken. So once again, our perseverance underlying it is your preservative work, Father God. We will remain in you and fulfill these roles and bear this fruit because of you, Father. And all the glory will go to you. Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We have one more.